Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you missed it at the top of the show, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. We put the Adam Pellick, Mika Zibanejad controversy, quote-unquote, on trial. So if you rewind to the top of the 2 o'clock hour, you can hear it. And Judge Tiki had a fair verdict.
I think you did.
But in honor of the Ranger fans whining and crying about that play last night, I was inspired this morning to kind of debate on social media who are the biggest crybabies in New York sports. And in fairness, and I appreciate a lot of people that got involved, 10,000 people voted in just a couple of hours. There were a lot of comments on this. But I kept it to just four fan bases. Because in my humble opinion, and I am showing my independentness with this, Tiki.
Okay.
The only four franchises whose fan bases to me qualify as really lead babies are Ranger fans, Mets fans, Jets fans, and Knicks fans. So
Giants are out.
I don't think the Giant fans are overall babies. I don't think Yankee fans are overall babies.
Because they've won.
I just think that, look,
There's championships in there that you can't. Like, you're not crying because you've had championships in the last 10 years.
I think
years.
Maybe the championships contribute to it because you're right. The four teams that I listed are teams that have won very, very little.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also just gotten the impression over my years of interacting with you people, Giant fans and Yankee fans, that, yeah, you've got some babiness tendencies, but I don't think overall you're big babies. Now, I got a lot of pushback from a lot of people who said it's got to be the Yankees. They basically make the playoffs every year. They have the highest payroll, and yet they're whining about their general manager. It's a fair point. I also think
Tevin. It's funny when you put it that way.
It makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot more sense because I think more of the whining on this station has been about Cashman than anything else.
Yeah, it actually inspired me that maybe I should make this more official and actually have a tournament of crybabies and put fan bases against each other and then have like a real winner.
Because, but the problem is with doing that, you're going to have to give context because I wouldn't even have thought about the Cashman angle. Even though they're not really crying about it, but they are.
Yankee fans are big babies. It was a fair point.
No, they're probably, because I'm a Yankee fan. Yankee fans, in theory, are probably the most undeserving of being babies, but that doesn't make them the biggest babies.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Look, it's up to interpretation. All I know is I got a lot of pushback on the Yankees. Mm. I also thought this woman named Tavenay made a good point that said the biggest crybabies in New York sports are WFAN hosts. And I was like, you know what? Touche. Maybe it is me. Maybe it is Sal. Maybe it is Sean. Maybe it is Big Mac. I don't know. Maybe we are the biggest crybabies. Fair point. But I looked at these results and I was stunned. The New York Met fan won by a pretty good margin.
Wow.
37% said Mets, 29% said Jets, 26% said Rangers, and only 8% said Knicks, which is, I think, I mean, come on. Knicks fans are huge crybaby. What are we talking about? Only got 8% of the vote. But do you agree with that in your kind of interactions now, Tiki, of being in New York sports talk radio and being in the city for a while, that the Met fan is the biggest crybaby?
It's definitely the Mets because of the lack of success, but also the reasons for the lack of success. First of all, the whole going back to the Madoff stuff and the Wilpons, and we don't have the money to do what we want to do. Like, so you're bad, but then you don't have the money to fix it. So it's, even though you're in the biggest media market, financial market in the country, maybe in the world, and you can't do anything about it. So there's a couple of reasons. And then you throw in the actual players with the DeGroms and the constant injuries and Cespedes falling off the horse or whatever, boar hunting, whatever the heck he was doing.
Yeah, he fell into a hole while chasing
the
boar.
Whatever the heck he was doing. Yeah. Like, there's always something with the Mets. So I think Mets is definitely one.
Yeah, but everything you just said is reasons for why we should be upset.
But you're crying about it, right?
Well, what should we do? Celebrate it?
I don't know.
I'm a baby.
I'm not saying that Met fans are just inherently weak and crybabyish. I'm just saying they just have a lot to like be upset cry about.
I think here's why, and I know you're going to roll your eyes when I say this. I promise you. You're going to roll your eyes, but hear me out. The reason why the Ranger fan is the bigger crybaby, more so than the Met fan and the Jet fan, mm-hmm. is I don't feel like after games, for the most part, we are bitching and making excuses. Like, are there moments where the Jet fan will complain about officiating in an NFL game? Of course, the Kansas City game certainly comes to mind from this past year. And I think it was very, very fair. But nevertheless, like, I don't want to sit here complaining about umpires or officials and blaming them for losses. It feels like the Ranger fan, more than any other fan base in this town, will point to a mistake as the reason why things went bad. And I blame your leader. Listen, Ranger fans, whether you like it or not, your leader is Boomer Esiason. And he sits here on the radio blaming a button that doesn't exist.
Boomer Esiason!
The screw the Ranger button. I mean, that is the definition of being a baby. Like, you actually think that there's a button that's controlling the, we got to screw the Rangers now. Like, that's it. That to me is the proof that you guys are the biggest babies.
Yeah, but that's just Boomer. Boomer's
but he represents most Ranger fans, right, Sean?
He represents a lot. But I think Boomer's lost with this because I think there's a ton of bad calls on both sides in hockey. But I think that's the problem. The sport can be determined. You know, playoffs can be determined by a puck deflecting off a skate the wrong way after a bad penalty's called on a power play. The sport is just so different than the other sports where those things do matter and you literally can get screwed, I think more so.
Well, the other thing is that, let's be fair, most hosts on WFAN do not talk hockey.
Right.
And so when you are talking hockey...
You're complaining?
They're complaining.
Right.
And therefore, anytime you hear hockey... You don't even think about relative to the other sports that you hear about.
Right.
So you hear hockey, and it's always whining, and it's always crying, and it's mostly the Rangers, because they're the one team that 80%, 60, 70% of the fans are.
But in fairness, once the NBA playoffs start in 2 weeks, and if the Knicks happen to actually lose a playoff game, because who knows, maybe they're just going to go fo-fo-fo-fo-fo all the way to an NBA title. But if they lose a game, you know what's going to happen.
Is that the right number of fours? Fo-four.
Fo-fo-fo-fo. Yes, 16.
You said 5.
Oh, did I?
You said 20.
Sorry about that.
Well, they are dudes, so maybe they win 5 rounds.
You are going to hear, we lost because of the officiating. We lost because
Jalen Brunson doesn't get these calls.
Exactly.
He doesn't get the superstar calls.
Yes.
He should have scored 54 last night instead of 45.
Yes.
That's 3 calls and missed.
I am so successfully predicting the future. In 2.5 weeks, there will be a whole show about, can you believe Jalen didn't get the calls? So they're up there. But I think right now people didn't want to vote the Knicks down because things are so happily with the Knicks. Now, between the Mets and the Jets, I will break the tie. I think Met fans are bigger babies than Jet fans. I'm a baby.
It's Jet fans.
Why do you think it's Jet fans?
Anything bad that happens to the Jet fan behavior this year when Aaron Rodgers went down and lashing out at everybody else as a result and everything that ensued and the Zach Wilson stuff, that behavior I saw from Jet fans was worse than my 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I have never seen crybaby behavior like
you're
I have seen
listening
Jet fans.
To it from yourself and fellow Ranger fans today, actually.
And far worse from the Jet fans in September.
What was so worse about it? What were Jet fans doing? I don't even know what you're talking about.
You just got tired of hearing
Evan
about Aaron Rodgers going down after 4 plays.
Well, got hurt.
I know, but you heard it like forever.
It's kind of a big deal.
You came in.
But after a while, how many times have we said in football, next man up, next man up? It doesn't matter. You know what happens in the NFL? Practice. Forget a game. Guy tears his ACL. Turn the drill around.
Yeah, but what is it?
No.
I'm confused. How does that make Jet fans babies?
Because you talked about it all year. Like, the reason we're not good is because Aaron Rodgers got hurt on the 4th play of the regular. Best quarterback in the NFL.
No.
We get him for 4 plays.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's all I heard year.
But how long have we worked together?
I don't know.
7-8 months. I think we can all
Has
do
it been
inside
that long?
Baseball.
Feels like 6 yes. years.
Okay. Tiki,
yes.
We all sat there. Tommy, you sat there. This before we even got on the air the morning after Aaron Rodgers got hurt, we all walked in with the same mentality besides Evan. Well, the lead is definitely Aaron Rodgers going down, the injury and everything. And we sat and looked in Evan's eyes and Evan's office. He goes, no, we won the game. We won the game. No, that's a big deal. You only get 16 of the 17.
Hold on. You guys can attack me for having that a view and opinion. I respect that. How does that make me a baby?
Because you couldn't accept the reality that your season ended that
night. I'm a baby.
And no, it's not a baby. That's a teenager.
Yeah, well, okay. So then you acted like teenagers. Jet fans in reaction. And you, by the way, weren't alone. It was like
but that's not
the weirdest thing I've ever dealt with. The biggest temper tantrum.
Sean, that's not a temper tantrum. That's being excited about a win. There's only 17 games in the NFL. Oh, and you guys have a right to differ on that? Like, we don't have to debate that. I understand your side, but that doesn't make us babies. It actually makes us mature.
But not quite mature enough.
Why?
Because you can't see the reality.
And the moment it was brought up, what about Rodgers' injury? The reaction was, but we won the game.
That is ridiculous.
Just wait. 10, 12 years from now, for both of you all, you're going to say, damn, you know what? Tiki was right.
About what?
About the teenager mentality.
Oh.
That no matter what I say as the teenager is right. I don't care that you've been through it. You've had 35 more years of experience than I have. What I'm saying is right. Trust me. You're gonna say, damn, Tiki knew.
Don't scare me, Tiki.
So I just want to get this straight. I just want to get this straight just so I know for the record. You believe in your time here as an independent observer, the New York Met fan are the biggest crybabies in New York sports?
Yes, but it's not their fault.
Okay, but the answer is the New York Mets.
Yes,
okay.
It's not their fault.
And your answer is the New York Jets?
Yes.
Lugie, your answer is?
Hands down, the New York Yankee fans.
Whoa.
You win 100 games every year. You've had nothing but success your entire life.
And then you cry about Cashman and bitch
and have no sense of self-awareness
or
reality.
Fire everybody. Get rid of this dude.
Spend one day in our shoes and then call me back.
Interesting. I'm going to have to formulate a tournament of crybabies to figure out the true winner. I'll have to give this a lot of thought. Let's go to Justin calling from Brooklyn. How are you, Justin?
Hey guys, big fan. I just wanted to talk about the game last night.
Yes.
So actually, first period 3-0, it was seven. I just got it for $7.50 live.
Really?
Yes. On FanDuel, but I can't believe I'm saying this as a Jet fan, but I finally agree with Sean about last night, because clearly he stops leading. It's clear as day. He comes across the ice, and you see him look over, and all of a sudden he turns right a little bit. And he stops. And he intended to stop. Let's be honest. At the end of the day, we're not crybabies, Evan. We're not saying that, oh, we lost the game. It's over. We lost. All we're saying is, we'll see you Saturday. And if we see you in the playoffs, I feel bad for you.
You don't want any of this.
Trash talking.
You don't want any of this. See, our trash talk is so different. Like, the Ranger fans' trash talk is, you have no shot. Their trash talk is, we're going to kick your ass. It's like the traditional bully trash talk. My trash talk is not that, because I understand it's hockey. I also understand you're the better team. I also understand that hockey's crazy enough where the Islanders could, of course, win this series. Anyone who says otherwise is either being bullheaded or you don't understand the sport. No, that's true. You don't understand because do you want me to cite the examples over the last few years of dominant teams, far more dominant than you, getting smoked out of the first round?
You're right, but it's all about matchups, Evan. Mm-hmm. That's why. And the Islanders don't present a bad matchup for the Rangers.
They did last night.
It's a welcoming matchup.
They did last night. Yeah. You needed the man advantage anytime they scored a goal.
Right, four times. For a period, too. Exactly.
And then you got outpossessed and outshot 13-4 for the rest of the game.
Okay.
I mean, it was bad.
And the Islanders team, as a team, blocked how many shots in this game?
Oh,
and they overcame it.
On his head. It was fine.
And Varlamov was tremendous. Like, right. Okay. And you want to break it down?
Four times you have to win in a series. The Islanders have, like, beyond a zero, whatever a negative percent chances of beating the Rangers four times in the playoffs, the Islanders have that.
You can't agree with that kind of lunacy.
No, I don't, but this is why you as an Islander fan I won't say bullying because it's not bullying, but this is what your trash talk is. It's not, we're going to beat you. It is, how are you going to feel if we do?
No, my trash talk is, you're sort of right. My trash talk, because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to come on here and pretend that the Islanders are going to smoke the Rangers. What would I say that based on? My hope is, hey, the Islanders are a hot team. Hey, it's hockey in the postseason. You never know. You get a hot goaltender. There's a lot of weird things that can lead to upsets in the NHL. I know that full well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to sit here and guarantee a victory. That'd be lunacy. But what I'm telling you is, admit that you don't want this. Because the risk-reward that's on the table if they meet in the first round is far greater for the New York Rangers. And trust me, I know this from experience. Lugi will tell you 3 years ago, did I want as a Net fan with the big three to play the Knicks? No!
He was scared to death, T.
And guess what? Would you agree, Lugi? Independent Lugi on this. Would you agree that the Islanders have a far better shot to knock off the Rangers than the Knicks ever did to beat the big three Brooklyn Nets in a first round series?
Yes.
Not even close.
Not even close. It's hockey, dude.
Thank you.
Anyone can win.
Thank you, Lugi. Not even close. Mm-hmm. And yet I, on the other side, was honest enough to say, I don't want it because the risk reward is too great. You can't walk down the street if you lose a series to the New York Islanders.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't, though.
Evan, the alternative is Sidney Crosby and the Penguins in my face again, Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals in my face again, dare I say the Tampa Bay Lightning in my face again. Based on alternatives, yes, I want your joke of a team.
They're not a joke of a team. See, now he's just being a fake bully.
No, I'm not. I'm just giving you my honest opinion.
How are they a joke of a team?
Don't tell me from my king throne who I want. I want you.
Okay, because you're getting me caught off because you keep saying these stupid things over and over again. How are they a joke team? They're about to earn their way into the postseason.
They don't even have as many wins as the Devils. They've been dead for months.
How does that even matter?
Because they can't win games.
They just beat your team's ass last night.
All right, so what? You lose a game every once in a while.
Here's why.
It's hockey.
Here's why you can't walk down the street. I'm not arguing that the Lightning aren't a more dangerous team. I'm not arguing that the Capitals aren't a more dangerous team. But if you lose to the Tampa Bay Lightning or you lose to the Washington Capitals, it sucks, you hate it, and you move on. If you lose to the little redheaded stepchild, and I'm allowed to say it, the team that you give no shot to, the team that you just called a joke, you will never live it down. You think losing to the Devils last year was bad? This is that on steroids.
No,
so you can be fake tough guy all you want. You know it.
No, we still beat you in 94 and route to a cup.
That's what you're going to say.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. You're going to
beat 30 years ago.
We beat you in route to a cup.
It's 30 years ago.
So he's going to come on the radio, Tiki. How would you accept that?
I mean,
if he came on the radio and said that,
you ignore it.
Don't come to work that day if that's going to be the crap you're going to say. Don't come to work.
Spike approving that?
We beat you in 94. That's what you're going to say.
Yeah.
When you were like 2.5 years old?
Yeah.
That's going to be your argument.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I wasn't 2.5. I was 7. I was Jets age.
Ladies and gentlemen, proof.
Yes.
He is the biggest baby
in New
York sports.
We might not let him in the studio that day.
That is the most babyish comment I've ever heard.
We were mooning somebody.
You're going to come in here and the Islanders beat the Rangers in a 7-game series in the first round, and you're going to say, yeah, but we beat you in 94, you can't come on it.
Well, I'll give the Islanders credit first. Then I will say this is the Yankees' year, and then I will say, remember, we beat you in 94.
Oh, shut up.
Let's go to Eric on Long Island. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, listen. First, quick point to mention before. I don't think there's a goalie controversy. I never thought I'd say this. We ain't going to see Sorokin again. You don't go back and forth at this time of the year. We're going to ride the backup goalie the whole way through, but more important,
I think you have to right now with the way he's been playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sorokin had two straight wins, I think, in the midst of the winning streak. But Varley's played excellent. And Waugh's got a history with him, and he's a veteran. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point in the season, like you said, you got to ride the hot hand. I don't think this means that Sorokin's future is cloudy here. I think it just means this season you have to take advantage of what's in front of you.
Evan, my main question for you guys is about our famous morning talk show host, who is a diehard Ranger fan. This is really a question. I have a 13-year-old daughter. She's the greatest girl in the world. These kids all have these sports jerseys today. My daughter has one sports jersey.
Right.
It's a New York Islanders number 17 jersey. I think we know who that player is.
Yes.
Okay. And she says to me, she's a smart girl. She looks at me, Dad, what kind of person roots against their own family? And I said to her, I don't know. I don't know if this is public, this and that. I mean, you tell
That's
me.
Great.
If it gets to a game 7, I'm going to give you a scenario.
Yeah.
It gets game 7 of a series. And number 17 of the Islanders scores in overtime. This is an older guy who, let's face it, doesn't have many years left. This is the father of his grandchildren. Is he really going to be upset? I'm asking.
He can't be.
One day plays for the Brewers. You're going to become a Brewer?
No, it's hard. I actually had this exact circumstance because my mother and father were Hokies. They went to Virginia Tech. Our biggest rival was Virginia, or their biggest rival was Virginia. And so we go to Virginia.
Of course.
And so for 4 years, my mother became a Cavalier fan. You just do it. It's family. Now, it's different because it's not blood. Like it's actually via marriage.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, but He's still got to be happy. I mean, his daughter's probably, you know, his daughter's going to be happy. You know what I mean?
Well, of course, yes, yes, yes. It's a great question he asks about our coworker Boomer Esiason.
Just wanted to call Boomer a little bitch.
Even if he publicly is going to say no, I think privately he's got to be.
No, first of all,
he's got to be.
I disagree with you.
How?
I disagree with our last caller.
Dude, it's family.
It's family, but he's a Ranger fan. He was a Ranger fan long before his lovely daughter met Matt Martin. Mm. Like, and to use Jet as an example, it's not the same. It's not.
Right, it's a son, not a son-in-law.
I mean, and I don't mean any disrespect to a son-in-law. Like, I love my father-in-law.
But how long have they been together?
It doesn't matter.
It's been a long time.
It doesn't matter.
And but his daughter is going to be ecstatic. Well, and so he's going to be, I hate you.
No, what's no.
Sydney, I hate you for right now. No, he can't be that way.
No one said he has to hate anybody, but when you
fan
are,
hate, you know what I mean.
You don't have to hate another fan either. You're going to root for your team to win.
Yeah.
I'm on Boomer's side on that. I don't even think it's a question.
I think he's conflicted.
No, he's not conflicted.
I bet he's conflicted.
If my daughter marries a Dallas Cowboy, over my dead body, am I rooting for his success?
Mm. I'm with you.
I'll root for him as a person. Hope
that
he treats my daughter good.
That's a lie.
On the football
field? I promise you that's a lie.
I hope you go 4-12 every year, 4-13 every
there's
year.
There's no way. There is no way.
I'm telling you.
I don't believe that.
I'm not.
You guys can say it because you're crazy-ass fans. But when it actually happens, there's no way that that's going to be.
All right, well, let me ask you, because you have daughters.
Yes.
If your daughter marries.
See, this is the wrong question to ask.
Why?
Because my fandom is corrupted. You know this.
Not yet. You didn't hear my question.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna get to where it hurts.
Okay.
Marries an Eagle.
Then great.
You told Saquon he's dead to us.
Great. Then whoever said husband is. As long as he's good to my daughter, and he better be, because then he's dead. He's dead. Good luck. You're dead to me.
That's a good point.
Look, I think that it's easy. Like, I said this to my wife, and I'm not saying I like my teams more than my wife. I love my wife. But we became sports fans before we ever met our significant other. And that doesn't mean we love them more. What it means is we're always going to be loyal to our teams, and we're never going to switch for a reason. I want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. Like, my wife knows I put her above these other teams. It's why we were celebrating her birthday last night instead of watching Mets Braves and Islanders Rangers. And I watched it on DVR. But nothing's going to sway that. Now, look, my sons become professional athletes? Because Jets already asked me this question. Jets already said, what if I play for the Yankees? Mm-hmm. What if I play for the Braves? And I was honest with him. I'll root for him to do well. I'll root for the team to lose.
No, you won't.
Samesies.
I know you won't.
You know who agrees with me?
I promise you won't.
You know who agrees with me?
Who?
You know who agrees with me?
Who?
Saquon Barkley's dad. Saquon Barkley's dad. He showed up to Jets Giants in a Jet jersey, Tiki. Is that not a fact?
No, it is.
Now, I think Saquon, I don't know his name. I apologize. You know his father's name?
No,
I want to have respect for him. I'll just call him Mr. Barkley. Mr. Barkley, I'm sure, rooted for Saquon to have a great game. In fact, he got everything because Saquon did have a great game. And the Jets won.
I guess one more yard, the Jets don't win.
But that's the win-win situation that his father put out there, right? So I don't think it's that crazy.
We have breaking news, Evan. And you've been given a read I think you should have handy. The Yankees have a new leadoff hitter. His name is Anthony Volpe.
I won! Yes! The Yankees starting lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. So we talked about this yesterday on the show. I think it was right around 5-ish, maybe a little bit earlier than that. You could definitely check out the Evan and Tiki podcast. That's the beauty of it. You download it. Everything from the show is right there, and you can go back and listen. And I brought this argument up the other day that I respectfully disagreed with Keith McPherson, BT as well, and other Yankee fans who have said, hey, everything's working out so well. Why would I move Anthony Volpe to the leadoff spot? And my point yesterday, and I'm so glad that Aaron Boone is on the same page with me on this, was this actually is the perfect time to make a change. Because I have Anthony Volpe. And by the way, Anthony Volpe took an over yesterday, if memory serves correct. So it's not like he's coming off a 5-for-5. But I've got Anthony Volpe playing in every aspect like a leadoff hitter. He's getting a lot of pitches per at-bat. He's starting to steal bases. He's getting on base. Why not make this move now? I disagreed with the thought that you should wait for something bad to happen. Because Anthony Volpe projects as the leadoff hitter for the next decade. So why not do it now? Because I believe in rewarding success. I believe in, hey, this guy's played really well over an 11, 12-game sample size. He should be the leadoff hitter. Give it to him. Now, Aaron Boone has not met the media yet, and I'm sure he will, and I'm sure he'll be asked, why are you doing this now? My answer, I'm certainly not talking to Aaron about it, though I do know he listens to the show, so maybe our discussion the other day convinced him, you never know, is that the kid deserves it. And that lineup of Anthony Volpe 1 and Juan Soto 2 and Aaron Judge 3, that is relentless, and it gives them the best chance to win. And so respectfully, Keith McPherson, who, by the way, my respect for Keith goes up every freaking day, okay? Because this guy, talk about a real fan. Keith, I love you. Keith not only buys a Beware of Dog sign, I think, at Home Depot. He not only shows up to Yankee Stadium, really leaning into the dog thing, which I think is cool. He's in the legend seats, standing up, holding it up, and barking. That's my guy. That is, we may root for very different baseball teams, and I know he trolls the Mets a lot. That's my guy. That's a fan right there.
You're over there making Loogie pissed off.
About what?
The dogs.
Well, the Yankees are doing it. They got a lot of dudes. They do a lot of
damage. Damage.
What do you want me to tell you? You're right over there.
I'll have my day. Don't worry.
But Keith would bring up the point, why fix something that's not broken, I think was his phrase. Yes. I want to quote him correctly. Because this is the time to do it. This is the time to reward him. So I think Aaron Boone made a great move. You guys were against it. Your thoughts on Anthony Volpe, Yankee leadoff hitter?
I mean, I wasn't against it. I was devil's advocate for it yesterday because why make the change? Now, the answer is, one, Glaber is not having a great start to the season. His on base is below 300. Not been terrible, but he hasn't been lighting the world on fire. And Anthony Volpe has. And so why not, I think, is the ultimate answer that Aaron Boone settled upon. Why not?
Here is the complete lineup so you can see how it lines up. It is against the left-hander. The Yankees have faced lefties this entire series with the Marlins. Volpe leading off at shortstop. Soto 2, Judge 3, Giancarlo 4, Rizzo 5, Glaber 6, Verdugo 7, Birdie 8, Trevino 9. So there are no other it's not like Glaber's out of the lineup. Yeah. It is simply a flip of Gleyber Torres and Anthony Volpe, and I love it. And I think Yankee fans, you should love it too, because that's a manager. This is what you guys wanted. You want the manager to react to performance. You want the manager to reward success. And now you've got a top three in your batting order of three guys who are relentless. They see five pitches per plate appearance. They make pitchers work. They drive up pitch counts. And now when Volpe gets on base, assuming he continues to get on base, you've got two of the most patient hitters in baseball sitting right behind him. I think it's a great move.
Yeah, again, the only thing I fear here is Volpe at some point in the coming days, weeks, he took an 0 for last night, hits a little skid. How do the Yankees react? Do they leave him in the leadoff role and hope he hits his way out of it, or does he get yanked back and forth, and what does that do to his confidence?
You just don't want to yo-yo him.
Exactly. That's my only fear, is shaking his confidence if he has to get moved back.
Your reaction, 877-337-6666, and more on the biggest babies in New York City sports. Plus, we check in with our buddy Justin Shackle, who's done a tremendous job filling in for John Sterling. We just wanted to see if Jazz Chisholm would trip him up last night. We have the answer next. The Phil. We'll get back to your calls in a second. We'll get into the NFL draft, which, believe it or not, is 2 weeks from tomorrow. We're almost there. What will the Giants do at quarterback, if anything? What will the Jets do? We'll start to try to answer those questions coming up, especially in the 4 o'clock hour. But yesterday, our good buddy Justin Shackle, we played here on WFAN how he had some issues with Jazz Chisholm, and he's not the first one to have that issue. A lot of people have had some trickiness trying to say the name Jazz Chisholm. Take a listen.
Jazz Chisholm.
So we kind of made a bet with each other. All right, so he's going to get to call Jazz Chisholm tonight. That was last night.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to start, so he's going to have to say his name a bunch of times. It's now on his mind that he messed up the Jazz Chisholm name. How will he do? Will it be on his mind and will he screw up? Or will he have a flawless Chisholm night? All of us thought he would screw up. Tiki was confident he was going to have a clean night. Are you ready to take a listen?
I am.
So I did the calculations. I was up till 4 a.m. Jazz Chisholm's name was said Nine times.
Nine.
Number one.
Jazz Chisholm, the batter, lefty hitter, the first pitch outside.
All right.
Nailed it.
One for one. Number two.
Jazz Rotto, Hermes Arrington Chisholm. Miami center fielder, an all-star from a couple of seasons ago.
Clever.
That's very, you know what that is? That's a Mike Francesa.
That's clever.
Who is the baseball player he didn't know who he was?
Al Albuquerque.
Right. He's like, oh, Albert Luis. Albuquerque.
I know him as Alberto. Right.
Yeah. So he went full name. So far.
That's clever. Makes you have to focus on saying the whole name.
I know. He was working last night.
Clever.
Number three.
And it's lined in the air, left field, pretty deep, toward the line for Dugo, giving it a chase. It'll drop in fair territory and settle into the corner. Chisholm sprints to second. He rounds the bag hard, but moves back, and he's in there with a two-out double. Chisholm sprints to second.
That was close, but I
think Chisholm
That's a ch. That's a ch.
Chisholm sprints.
It was a Chisholm.
Yeah, that's close.
I'll play it one more time.
Chisholm sprints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got
what,
it.
What you want to hear, you hear it.
That's a good point.
So you're hearing Chisholm on that one?
It is definitely Chisholm.
Chisholm sprints.
We're going to put that one to the side. I can't say you got that one right. We'll argue later.
If that was the NFL, that would be an automatic review. From
yeah, we're going to review that at the end. Let's listen to another Jazz Chisholm.
Chisholm breaks for third. The pitch sails over the glove of Wells, goes to the backstop, and Chisholm is at third base with a stolen bag.
Well, the second one was good. Can we hear the first one again?
Chisholm breaks for
I don't know, man.
Yeah, that was
Chisholm breaks for
That's the same. It's the same as the previous one.
Yeah, that one's clear. We're going to give that one a correct answer. No replay needed. All right, let's hear another one.
Sliding stop by Torres to his left. He throws to first, and it's in time. They get Chisholm. Torres makes sure that ball does not leave the infield. There's one away on a ground ball off the bat of Jazz Chisholm.
I like that he went to it again. Almost like, I'm going to show you guys I got this.
Yes. I will say the ones that we've put off for review or the one we put off for review, these other calls aren't helping that case. You're getting a very emphasized shh here on these other ones.
Oh, I see.
All I'm saying is, yeah, follow the pattern.
All right.
Keep going.
That ball floats under the glove of Rizzo off the bat of Chisholm.
That was good, too.
I think I heard the cha. All right.
And since 2022, Jazz Chisholm has played in 167 of 334 possible games.
Yeah, that's clean.
I'm telling you, you have to say his first name. If you say his first name, it makes you emphasize his last name.
And Shackle in that call gave it a good breath after Jazz. Jazz Chisholm has played in.
Yes.
Well, you don't think that saying Jazz actually makes it more difficult because you're putting the J in your mouth?
Well, you're getting rid of the J. You're letting it go. You're speaking it.
I know, but doesn't your mouth want to give another J?
No, you don't want to go JJ. You want to say J.
I don't know. I think it makes it more difficult when you say Jazz. If you just say Chisholm on its own.
By the way, the way to actually solve this is to just emphasize the Z's. Jazz Chisholm.
Jazz Chisholm.
Interesting. Jazz Chisholm.
How many more do we have?
This is the last one.
All right, this is the last one.
They lead the Marlins by one, and Clay Holmes is on the mound, making his sixth appearance. He'll deal with Jazz Chisholm.
Okay.
See, so when he says the Jazz, it's perfectly clean every time.
So there's one that's under further review. Can we hear that again? Let's analyze this a little bit closer.
I isolated it from the time he says it.
Perfect.
Chisholm sprints to second. Chisholm sprints.
It's Chisholm, guys.
Yeah, that's a loss. I'm sorry.
Chisholm.
Yeah. Look, I think he had a great night.
He hit 900.
He hit 9.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Chisholm.
1,000.
That's not 1,000. He said Chisholm. He didn't say Chisholm.
No, he said Chisholm.
Chisholm.
No. He did so good at pronouncing that CH on all the other ones. That's what makes this a J.
Chisholm.
Let me hear it again.
Chisholm.
Here, say it again.
Chisholm.
Say it again.
Chisholm.
You're going to need a cigarette after all that. He can't
Chisholm.
Take the J out of his mouth there.
It's not a J. It's a CH.
Listen.
That's a Chisholm.
He got that one wrong.
No, he
but
didn't.
I want to say he had a great night. Like, first of all, I think he did a great job filling in for John. It's not easy, and I think he was awesome. And I think that knowing the pressure was on, because he knew the pressure was on, I think he batted like 950. Here's who I feel really bad for. It's not him. It's not Justin Shackle. He's escaped. It's poor Emmanuel Babari. Isn't he doing tonight's game?
He is doing tonight's game. Tough spot for the kid.
Oh, Emmanuel's in. Because he knows all about this.
He's not going to mess it up.
You don't think so?
I'm going to text him right now. Make sure you don't say Jism.
Slow down on every name. Not just Jazz's name, but every name. That way you don't forget.
That's right.
Well, good job by Justin Shock. I thought overall he did a fantastic job.
Jism.
But he did say it once.
Chism.
Me, Lugie, and Sean were right about that.
You guys just want to hear it.
That's not true. Let's go to Vinny in Little Falls. How are you doing, Vinny?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
I was good.
So, Hickey, one of my favorite all-time Giants.
Thank you, man.
But I don't understand how you, Tommy, and Sean can stand working with that insufferable troll, Evan.
Insufferable troll? That is just mean.
You know, last night, it didn't bother me as the Rangers lost that game last night, is what it is. Even the hit to Zibanejad, glad he's okay, but
it wasn't vicious, and you're fine, right?
Yeah,
most Ranger fans, they're fine with it. The only person that wasn't fine was LaViolette.
I can see the argument because Pelech does kind of glance over to see where he is, but it's just a collision. So no Ranger fan is going crazy about this. And we'll see what happens on Saturday. But to sit here and call Ranger fans whiny and start going on about Trouba is just ridiculous.
Well, what's wrong about that? You think Jacob Trouba is a clean player? You don't think he's a dirty player?
I think he's the hardest hitter in the NHL.
I agree with that. By the way, I think he's a hard hitter, and I'd want him on my team as well. But do you think he's dirty?
Not at all.
And you're calling me a troll. Like, I'm not trolling. I'm calling it like it is.
It's hockey. The reason he's saying you're a troll is because you're calling Rangers crybabies, even though most of them aren't crying about it.
Well, I think Ranger fans are crybabies. And by the way, I acknowledge that Met fans are crybabies, too. But I call my own team Met fan base is crybabies.
I think what he's saying, and Evan or Sean was the same way, Evan, they're not crying about this.
Sean wasn't. Stop it.
No, I just wanted an acknowledgement of transparency.
He was being a lawyer when he was arguing with you to start the show. If you missed it, go rewind on the Odyssey app. But he was being a lawyer. He wasn't necessarily advocating his own beliefs. In fact, he said he was okay with it.
Yeah. I think it was intentional, but you don't have to call
penalty. He was making the argument against you. That's all he was doing.
He started the argument long before I brought it up. In fact, I reacted to him because he was in that cesspool of arguing with people on social media.
Yeah, because
I watched the game on its own on DVR. I came back and saw these arguments, almost stunned that there were any arguments because there was nothing dirty about what Adam Pelech did.
See, but that's where I'm right and you're wrong, Evan. Because I had an acknowledgement that a lot of people don't acknowledge. I was wrong at first glance, and I was showing you how I adapted and realized, hey, I was wrong when I first saw this.
You were wrong because your head coach didn't tell you how to act yet. And once you heard your coach crying about it, which is what he did, that's what flipped you and others to say, maybe it was dirty. Let me follow what coach says.
My eyes and the remembrance of, the slew foot in the first period changed it. That's all.
And here's the other reason why I'm certainly not a troll. I acknowledge that the New York Rangers are a better hockey team than the New York Islanders. I acknowledge that that's a first-round series where the Islanders are underdogs. I acknowledge all of that. I'm not the one coming on the radio the way Sean has and a few of our Ranger callers have to basically guarantee victory and say the Islanders have no shot. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but
that would be a troll move. I'm not suggesting that at all.
No, but it's very rare that you can guarantee something that will happen. That's the only reason I'm doing it. I'm taking advantage of that scenario. That's all.
What is that? I don't even know what that means.
That means that it's very rare.
That's an
in
Islander troll.
That's a troll. Okay.
Yes.
Let's just remember who the freaking troll is. I've said nothing troll worthy. What have I said that's troll worthy?
You call the Rangers crybabies.
Because they're crying about a play from last night.
But they're not.
They're not. They're just telling you, hey, remember when you guys all cried? Just be transparent about it. That's all.
Stop it.
By the way, hold on. I have a good answer. Emmanuel Barbari, the voice of the New York Yankees tonight. I've asked him a very important question. He's already answered.
Yes.
Go ahead.
My question was, do you think you'll say Chaz Jism tonight or not?
Jism.
His response, if I think about it, I will. So I'm going to try my best to forget this text over the next few hours.
Chism.
So you put it in his hand.
Yes.
Good job, Sean.
Look, for Emmanuel and anybody else, you won't be the first. I mean, it's a common mistake.
Chism.
What did he say his full name was again? Remember how he did that, Justin Shackle? At one point, he pulled out the whole...
Hold on, is it actually his full name?
That's I don't think Shackle would lie.
Jazrado Hermes Arrington Chism.
Okay. I think what you have to do now, if you're Emmanuel, is borrow from your friend Justin and just start calling him that.
Chism.
No, not that.
What's wrong?
What's his full name again? I already forgot.
Jazrado.
Jazrado.
Prince.
Prince.
Hermes.
Hermes.
Arrington? Chisholm.
Chisholm.
Yeah.
Junior.
Chisholm.
No, wait, his father's name is all that, too?
Apparently. I think that's what you do if you just go. Just call him Junior.
Chisholm.
I got to get the origin story on this one.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Let's go to Pete calling from Babylon. How you doing, Pete?
Hello, gentlemen. Making my day great again, as always. Love all of you.
Appreciate it. What's up?
Go on, this one's a little bit to you, pal. Let me tell you what you need to worry about, okay? Puck drop. Okay? Puck drop. Mm-hmm. Start the game. 7:05. The same intensity. You're playing for a president's trophy. We're playing to scratch our lives into the playoffs. The first 20 minutes need to be the best of both teams. And we annihilated, destroyed, and rolled over you for 20 minutes. And you're going to, just the first 20 minutes for now, and I'll get to my second point. Just the first 20 minutes. Just as intense. President's Trophy on the line. Us getting in the playoffs on the line.
Stanley Cup's not on the line. Let's calm down.
I mean, but
embarrassed you in the first 20 minutes.
Is the president's, now, is the President's Trophy that important?
No, I mean, you'd like home ice, but I mean, it's way more important for the Islanders come out intensity. Mm. Pete's a little over-exaggerated.
Okay, but it's just as important to say what you're going to do. You're going to knock that down and say, well, no big deal, because it's not that important for us. The president being the best team in hockey and getting the President's Trophy is a nice thing, because, of course, the Rangers will use that. Well, President's Trophy, but that's another thing to worry about, which I don't think we're going to see in the first round anyway, because I think we're going to end up in the three spot. But if we do end up in the third and the last spot and we play the President's Trophy winners, it's very rare that happens, where that matchup is a close matchup. But, i.e., last year, look what Boston did. Boston won the President's Trophy, and they lost to the Carolina Panthers. Just be very careful what you wish for.
I try to warn them that.
You didn't score a goal last night, 5v5. You scored one goal, 5v5, when you needed that game for the President's Cup. So stop saying it wasn't a big deal that game, because it was a big deal.
You think Cam Newton beat the Bruins last year, so please.
Say it one more time.
He thinks Cam Newton beat the Bruins last year, so please.
What does that mean?
He said that they lost to the Carolina Panthers.
Stop it. Stop trying to nitpick what he's saying to you. How about you attack?
They lost to the Florida Panthers, who made the cup, who are now one of the leaders, the favorites to go to the cup.
I think his overall point is, like, winning the President's Trophy, which is a great accomplishment, comes with the pressure, and we've seen over the last few years a lot of President's Trophy winners lose in the first round.
Absolutely.
We've seen it happen a lot. So that's the only point. That's why to have the arrogance of, oh, we would smoke this team, it wouldn't be close, it's fake optimism. It's not really based on any kind of reality other than, I guess that's what kind of fan you are. I'm still learning about you as a fan, that you're one of those fake tough guys who, like, oh, that team has no shot.
They got
no
shot.
That team has no shot.
They can't even win as many games as the Devils. They got a shot.
Stop with that. What does that even mean? You're in third place in the Metro
you
now.
You can't beat a team in a series by getting overtime losses. Doesn't happen in a playoff series.
Okay, but in a best-of-seven series, everything that happened in the regular season is thrown out anyway. The fact that you guys have 23 more points, which is great. I mean, you've been a better regular season team. What the hell does that mean?
It means we're the better team. We will win more games.
How many times does the better team get knocked out in the NHL playoffs, Sean?
A lot.
Why do I have to teach you hockey?
A lot.
I thought you're the hockey guy.
You don't have to teach me hockey. Yeah, I'm teaching you hockey.
No,
that it's about the matchups. You run into the wrong matchup as the better team and hurts you. The Devils were a bad matchup for the Rangers. The Islanders, the Rangers' strength is the power, but the Islanders can't stop power.
Okay,
they are an easy matchup.
If you
want to
play this matchup game, the Islanders should have won the Stadium Series game. They should have won two of these three games already.
Why didn't they? Because they stink on the power play, where the Rangers are good, which is why you won't win four games.
That automatically means you're going to get five power play opportunities in every single playoff game, and you're going to convert on all of them?
Are you going to convert on a lot of them?
Is that what you assume?
Going to convert on a lot of them.
How do you assume that? Because the Ranger power play has always been wildly consistent come playoff time?
This power play.
How do you just assume that everything you're seeing in the regular season just kind of transpires over into the postseason?
I've watched enough Islander games, enough Ranger games to know that's a lick your chop spot.
But you see what's going on, Tiki? I'm not even arguing that the Islanders are going to beat them. I'm arguing with this insanity of they have no shot. Like, why would I even watch? Like, what a waste of time.
What do you think?
I licked my chops.
Why you guys are arguing nonsensically about nothing?
You were Googling the Rangers power play.
No, I was Googling the origin of Jazz Chisholm's name.
Chisholm.
And what have you come up with?
Nothing yet. But he was called by his real name, Jazrado, for a while.
I think we got to go back to that. I think that would help.
It actually is a cool name.
Jazrado? Yeah.
Jazrado.
No doubt about it.
Jazrado. What's your name? Jazrado.
By the way, you guys watched the Knicks game last night?
No, because I was paying attention to Jazrado.
Yes, dude, I did. So my favorite part of it, and Jalen Brunson continues to be ridiculous. Let's just point that out. Jalen Brunson continues... I got to admit, I take my losses around here. I remember having that argument with CP, the franchise, and having that argument with you about how good he is. Is he a top five player? Is he a top 10 player? Is he a top whatever player? Over the last really month or so, he has played like a top three player.
Dog!
Now, he has been on that kind of insane level with the kind of basketball he's played recently. And so I give him all the flowers that you can give a star. He has played at just a ridiculous level. And you know what I find funny about Jalen Brunson? Sometimes you look at a box score, and I think box scores can be very misleading. You got to actually watch the game a lot of times in the NBA. And so Jalen Brunson puts up these massive offensive numbers. He takes a lot of shots. His assist numbers are good, but they're not through the roof. And maybe you look at that and you say, you know, Jalen's great, but boy, he's dominating the basketball. He's taking a lot of bad shots to get those points. I watch the Knicks every night. I never feel that way about him. I feel like he's playing smart. I think he's playing within the rhythm of the game. I think he's playing at a ridiculously high level. With that said, what I wanted to say about the Knicks had nothing to do with Jalen Brunson. I had to get into what happened. Mid-second quarter of this game between the Chicago Bulls and the New York Knicks, in which, I'm trying to remember who it was. Oh, it was Torrey Craig. Torrey Craig has an easy bucket. It's about to cut the Knick lead to seven.
This is idiocy.
And Torrey Craig throws the ball off of the backboard to do a self-dunk. Okay? You got you Knick fans watch this
right.
crap.
It's a self-alley-oop.
And Andre Drummond decides, oh, that's cool. He's doing it for me. And so he jumps up to finish it. But so does Torrey Craig, and they converge together, and obviously the Bulls don't end up with points. And that's not the part that made me laugh. I feel so bad about what I'm about to laugh about. I apologize in advance. 30 seconds later, Andre Drummond twists his ankle. And it was almost like the basketball gods said, here's what we're going to do to you. You did something so dumb that we're going to injure you.
Yeah, we don't like stupid.
And I felt so bad. Like, I was literally like, oh, my God, did this guy really turn his ankle right after that dopey play between Torrey Craig and Andre Drummond? At that moment of the game, Knick fans, you kind of knew. You're like, do I have to watch the rest of this? I know the way this night is going. And obviously the Knicks took care of business, but the big story in the NBA last night was the Giannis Antetokounmpo injury. And we'll get into that coming up in a couple of minutes, plus more of your calls at 877-337-6666.